service this morning. We have a few more days that we'll take donations of eyeglasses. I believe that's correct, Allison? Yes, just a few more days. So if you have old eyeglasses, you'd be willing to donate, for Allison's brother. He's going on a mission trip. Please let her know and get those to her. The widower's luncheon is today, Christmas luncheon, immediately following the morning worship service. So please make plans to attend that if you are a widow or widower. And the we have some Christmas events coming up. Next Sunday will be the children's program. Sandra still needs some desserts, so if you're willing to provide those, that would be wonderful. Let her know. And then also, she needs the children here that are participating at 5 o'clock. The event will begin at 5:30. The children need to be here at 5 o'clock, please. We will have a Christmas Eve service this year, of course, on the 24th at 5 p.m., so you're welcome to attend that. Next week will be our monthly members meeting, and of course a meal with that. Breakfast at lunch will be the theme, right? So brunch, appreciate if you could bring a dish for that. I believe that's all the announcements that I have for this morning, so let's prepare our hearts for worship.
First Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. In our country today, we are in a period of great anxiety. Our troubles are many and heavy. We have an adversary who wants to destroy us. So we must cast our care upon the Lord, because we need all our powers of thought to battle this great enemy. We must cast all our cares upon the Lord, because if we are worried, we will not be sober or watchful. God cares for us, and he will carry our burden if we will just cast them upon him. Please reflect on this for a few moments.
This Sunday is the priest candle. Hebrews 9, 11, and 12 says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." As we've seen throughout the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the great high priest of our confession. He is the sinless, perfect, eternal priest after the order of Melchizedek. Just as priests in the Old Testament would enter into the holy place to make atonement for the sins of God's people, Christ entered into the most holy place the very presence of God, and offered his perfect sacrifice to God as an atonement for the sins of his people. He is the only priest who is eternal, the only priest who did not need to offer a sacrifice first for his own sins, the only priest who is also the sacrifice, the only priest who is still interceding for his people before the throne of God. As we light this priest candle, let us reflect on the great high priest of our confession, who became a man in order to represent man before God. Let us celebrate the perfect sacrifice that Jesus offered to his Father, his own life. As we are giving and receiving gifts this Christmas season, may our hearts be filled with worship and adoration because of the gift God gave us in his Son. This holiday season, may our eyes be fixed on Christ, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us.
Please stand.
Upon that cross, I'll never know. it cost to see my sin upon that cross? I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Please be seated.
I invite you to listen as I read from the scriptures this morning. It's to be found from Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. The scriptures speak thus. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May God bless his word.
Please stand.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem in Jewry, this blessed babe was born, and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn. Though which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not, then said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bride, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds at those tidings rejoice much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the blessed babe to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And when they came to Bethlehem, where our dear Savior lay, they found him in a manger, where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary, leaning down unto the Lord, did pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. Oh, come, oh, come. No. clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come thou,
of our scripture recitation, just a moment. Grateful this morning for Pastor Darrell, his willingness, his eagerness to share the word of the Lord with us. So pray for him as he delivers the gospel to us this morning, and also remember our pastor, Trey, and his wife, Shay, as they're traveling today back from ceremony he conducted yesterday. He'll be traveling today. So we'll be reciting this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. There it is. Beginning in verse 25, recite this together with me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, your word is indeed food for our soul. If we would know in our souls this word. So God, as my brother comes, Lord, speak to us your word, Lord, and imprint it upon us, plant it deep within us, and may the word that is given spring up in us into life and godliness and faithfulness, all to the glory of Christ. Lord, we pray this for the honor and glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to read actually from two different versions this morning. I want to read from the King James, beginning at verse 5b, reading down through verse 7. And then I want to read from the ESV, beginning again at verse 5b down through verse 7. So please listen to the word of God. Paul says, "The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then from the ESV, we read it this way. "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. May give us understanding. This is the Word of God. We bless His name for His Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, You have given us this time to worship. You have been good to us throughout the week and have brought us together once again to hear the Word of God. We thank You for these blessings that we have enjoyed throughout the week. And we realize, Father, that as we have endured each day, we have no doubt come upon cares and anxieties and have worries and concerns in our lives. We pray now as we read the Scripture, we'll find relief for these things. And You would help us. We beseech You now, O Father, by Your Spirit to come and speak to every heart. Please bless Your Word above all things. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted as we worship together. Have mercy upon us, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. It hardly seems necessary for me to say to any of you this morning that you shouldn't worry about anything. Because I'm certain that you probably got up this morning with something on your mind, did you not? And I think each of us know that our human frailty and weaknesses, because of those things, we're very apt to worry. You have children, you worry about your children. You have grandchildren, you worry about your grandchildren. There's an interesting word here that's translated the King James where it says, be careful for nothing. The word there means to be anxious, to have care for, or to take thought of. If we take that with the rest of the text, it's to be anxious for nothing, to take thought for nothing, to care for nothing. That's what the text actually says. And so I suppose if I asked you, because of this expanded definition, if you're worried about something, you certainly are. There are things in our lives that concern us. Think about the world in which we live. All the difficulties we face. We hear, as Jesus said, there will be in these end days wars and rumors of wars. And we know there's a fierce war going on in Europe, in Ukraine right now, between Russia and Ukraine. We have a border, our southern border, exposed to all kinds of troubles down there, and fentanyl and drugs are coming across, and illegal aliens, and all those things that we're concerned about with our country. They're realities. We have inflation that's been ripping apart our budgets. You go to the gas station, and what do you find? A tank of gas costs you $100. Go to the grocery store. What do you see there? Price of eggs, 45% higher than what they were a few years ago. Meat. I dare say we can't even count the cost of meat is so high. Go buy some butter. Whatever you go to the store to buy, it's cost more. We live in times of concern. Every Christian parent worries about the salvation of their children and their grandchildren, and the salvation of others who they know. We're concerned about people. We worry about things. We get unwanted news. We have cancer. What comes next? We worry. Dread is in our lives. Concern is a part of our lives. I want to call your attention to this little phrase, be careful for nothing. And let me get to the plain meaning of the text, but I think it's well expressed in the ESV version. He says, don't be anxious about anything. That's what the text means. And I think we're taught by this, that if we're anxious about anything, that is strictly forbidden to us. John MacArthur, in his commentary on this passage, said this, anxiety is a violation of Scripture and totally unnecessary. I think he's right. Anxiety and worry and concern and care is a violation. They're violations of Scripture. and totally unnecessary. I like what Spurgeon said in a sermon called The Prayer, The Cure for Care. This is what he said. A holy carelessness, which is the very beauty of the Christian life, when all our care is cast upon God and we can joy and rejoice in His providential care for us. Have you come to the place in your life where you can enjoy the providential care for you personally? His love and concern for you goes far beyond the love and concern of a mom or a dad or a friend or a neighbor. He cares for you. He loves you. He watches over you. Peter said it this way. The Apostle Peter tells us to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We're to cast our cares upon the Lord because He is the one who cares for us. At the same time, we would all say it's almost quite impossible not to care, not to be anxious about things in our lives. So my aim this morning is very simple. It's to help each of us stop being anxious about whatever circumstances we may be facing. Because we all have things we face, don't we? We all have issues that we face every single day. I think most of you probably know that Helen and I have been going through some trying circumstances in our lives. And there are others as well. As I look upon this congregation this morning, I see folks who are here who are troubled by things and have had problems with things. I look at Mike back there. He's a dear friend, and he's had AFib and been in the hospital the past few days, and he's back home. But I'm certain that Marie was concerned about him, and Brian and the kids were concerned about him, and the grandkids were concerned about him. Fell on the floor and couldn't get up, concerned about him. Am I telling the truth, Maria? She was concerned about him. Our dear sister Heather also has cancer. And who knows what's next for her? I'm sure she's concerned about that. Sam shared with us this morning. He was sick for the past, and Kim said something about it the other day. He's been sick, lost 8 pounds in 2 days. Concerned about that. We all have things we're concerned about. I suppose that all of us have cares that overwhelm us at times, and if the truth is told, we have more cares and worries than we can count. I'm looking at Tony over here, and his grandmother's going to be having some surgery in a few days. Do you know when, Tony? In January 31st? Well, it's a couple months then, but she's going to have surgery. I'm sure there's concern about that. Wes just cut through some surgery and been rehabbing for all that. We all have concerns and cares. Our cares are many, so our prayers should be many. That's the point of the passage. The question then arises then, how should we handle care? How should we handle this anxiety that's a certain part of our lives? Many of us are old enough to remember these words. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Do you remember that? I remember going to Granny's house, my grandmother. I called her Granny, Papaw. That's what our kids call us, by the way. But I remember if you had a problem, Granny had a tablet, a packet that had two tablets in it. Had the picture of a little guy with a Navy hat on his head. And you open that packet up and you drop the two tablets into a glass of water. And what happened? It fizzed and fizzed and fizzed. You had to wait 30 minutes before you could drink it because it fizzed so much. And then I would stir mine up so, you know, I'd fizz it up again. And there was some relief, you know, if you had a little cold or a little sniffle or a little ache. took care of that. If you watch any TV today, what do you see on TV? There's a product that's advertised called Relief Factor. Have you all seen that commercial? You buy this 3-week starter pack and it relieves all your muscle aches and your pains and these little body aches that we have. You know, those tonics may be good for certain things, but they don't cure anxiety. They don't cure our concerns or our worries. They don't take care of what troubles us the most in our lives. They just don't have the cure for what ails us in our spirits. And so I believe our text teaches us that as often as we have a care and an anxiety, we ought to pray. We need to pray. Spurgeon went on in that same sermon to say this: we should baptize every anxiety in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and so make it into a blessing. I think he was right. Whatever your concerns are, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and they become blessings to us. Whatever troubles you're having, take them to the Lord in prayer. I think we also should be cautious that our cares and anxieties don't overwhelm us. Sometimes, you know, our losses bring about cares and anxieties. So we need to pray about our losses. Go to the Lord with these losses. Instead of worrying about them, make them occasions for waiting upon the Lord for the blessing. Remember what Job said in Job chapter 1 and verse 21? He said, after losing everything he had, he said this: the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Losing everything. And yet at the end of that he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In spite of his losses, he blessed God's name. We read the passage for a recitation from Matthew chapter 6. I want to read that again. Listen very carefully as you hear this read. Jesus said this: therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In this text, the word anxious appears 6 times. Anxiety is a reality that we face. But what did he say? 3 times in this text he said, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about these things. Maybe you've got bills to pay that you can't cover because of inflation. Don't be anxious about those things. Isn't every bill just another reason for you to knock on God's door and come just as often to the throne of grace? Every anxiety you have is a reason for you to pray and come into God's presence. Every trouble, every worry, every concern is a reason for you to pray. I'm quite certain that none of us are afraid to call upon a friend when we have time of need. I believe with all my heart that if I needed something from any of you, as you're my friends, you would do whatever you could to help me. And I hope that you know I would do the same. I consider you my friends as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I'm willing to help you any way that I can. And if you would trust me and I would trust you to help me, why could we not trust a friend who the Scripture says sticks closer than a brother? You have a friend who is closer than a brother to you. He is the Lord of glory. Is he not the best of friends who's able to help you in your times of need, whatever those needs are? He is your friend. I cannot say it often enough. Every anxiety is just another reason to pray. Every care is one more moment for you to pray. And when you come to the crossroads, you have to make these important, critical decisions. What's the best thing for you to do? When you're uncertain about things, and the way isn't clear, what's the best thing for you to do? Is it not, dear ones, to pray? You know that's the answer. Pray. I want to give you some concrete examples of this. I think most of you are aware that the church and some of the leadership, I think all the leadership perhaps, we want to begin a Christian school here at Cedar Grove Baptist Church. Last time we met, Kathy informed us of something that we had, I think, maybe forgotten. And Kathy, I want to say to you how much I appreciated your gracious words when you said this. She said, I don't think we prayed like we should, something to that effect, about this matter. And she was right. We need to pray about whether we would start a Christian school here or not. We need to pray as a committee about that. But you need to be praying as a church. And I ask you, have you been praying? Have you been doing that? Have you been praying about whether we should have a Christian school here or not? Pray about that. As often as you pray, pray about that. We have a desire to serve this community for the glory of God, and especially the youth and their families here. And some of you may not be aware of this, but we want to actually build a soccer field here. Brian, if you ever want to talk to him about that, he'd be glad to talk to you about that and others. And I want to ask you a simple question. Have you prayed about that? Were you even aware of it? See, that's a concern that we have. It's not an anxiety so much as a concern. But pray about that. Have you brought that concern before the Lord? You say, well, how are we going to pay for that? Now, that's an anxiety, isn't it? We'll bring that anxiety before the Lord. I'll tell you what we need right up front. About $6,000 so we can get an artist rendering of what that's going to look like out there in that field. That's the start. Pray about that. Make that a matter of prayer, and maybe you can help with that. Figure out ways to bring the money up, you know, to have some, what do they call those things? Some fundraising events. Whatever it takes, pray about it. Bring it before the Lord. If you're anxious about these things, who is God? Is he not our Father? Are we not his children? Who is God? Is he not our Master, and are we not his servants? Then why would we intrude upon his purview in his realm? Pray, leave it up to him. Pray to him. Let him handle it. He knows how. He's not bereft of resources. He has them all. What does Paul tell us? In everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Everything. And if you do that, you will be intruding upon God's providence. That's what He does. He takes care of us. He takes care of us. Besides this, what good are cares and anxieties to any of us? I thought about that, you know, when I was putting the message together. What good would it worry me about hair on my head, Tim? What good? Worrying about whether I got hair on my head is going to, what good is that going to do me? No good at all. Why worry about the storm at night when lightning's flashing? What can you do to stop the storm or change its direction? Just pray. Just go before the Lord. Instead of worrying, why not seek the presence of God? And if we forget to pray, what's left to us but to worry? Don't forget to pray. Care and anxiety hurt us, but if we turn care and anxiety into prayer, that's a benefit to us. Why? Because prayer builds our spiritual life and prayer edifies us. If we pray, we will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we pray, we'll be conformed to His image. Prayer is a benefit to you and me. And I tell you, when someone asks you to pray for them, don't delay. Pray for them right then. Take them to the throne of grace because they need help. They wouldn't ask otherwise. Pray. Pray. Did you notice that I read the last part of verse 5? Did you notice that? Where it says, the Lord is at hand. Dear ones, why should we worry when our Lord is so near to us? Why should we be concerned? You know, David understood this, didn't he? He said this, the nearness of God is my good. NASB, Joe. The nearness of God is my good. He said this in Psalm 75:1, your name is near. He said this in Psalm 34, verse 28, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. Is your heart broken this morning? Guess who's close to you? The Lord of glory. He said this in Psalm 119, verse 151, you are near, O Lord. You're near. And think of what he said in that magnificent Psalm, 176 verses. He couldn't have done it if the Lord wasn't near. In Psalm 145 and verse 18, he said this, and I may not be right about this, but maybe this is what Paul has in mind when he pens these words in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. He said this, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. And so he tells us here in this passage to pray, to call upon, let your request be made known unto God. Pray, dear ones. Maybe, perhaps Paul had that in mind. The Lord is near. He's near to us. Call on Him. Pray. Seek His face. He will hear and answer you. How do you do that? Well, notice the text again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. Call upon the Lord. How much better off would you and I be? Listen to this. How much better off would you and I be if we held every earthly thing with a loose hand? What is that song we sing sometimes? The things of this world will go strangely dim. When? When we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Hold these earthly things with a loose hand so we won't have these these worries and these cares and these anxieties, but give ourselves over to prayer and seek those things which are real and substantial and eternal. That's what's real. That's what's substantial. Did you notice that your prayer, what your prayer is to encompass? Do you notice it in the text? We are to pray about, what does it say? Some things. This thing over here. That thing over there. What are we to pray about? Everything. There is nothing that we shouldn't pray about. Pray about the smallest things. Pray about the largest things, the greatest things. Don't confine your prayer to spiritual needs only. Pray about what you're going to wear when you go home and you sit down in your easy chair and you take off your Sunday go to meeting clothes. Pray about what you're going to do when we leave this building here, go to the next building and have a fellowship meal with our widows, widowers. Pray about those things. Let me ask you a question. What part of you doesn't need attention? What part of you doesn't need attention? Does your body have needs? Then pray. Does your soul have needs? Then pray. Does your spirit have needs? Then pray. Are you hungry? Then pray. Are you downcast in your spirit? Then pray. Is your soul troubled and weary? Then pray. Pray about everything. Don't think for one moment anything is too small to pray about. You got a headache? Pray about it. Pray about everything. Kathy, I'm looking at this Kathy over here because I know they do. She and Brenda get together and pray. I appreciate that. Pray about everything. After all, everything is small in comparison to God. So pray about everything. Think about this. In all the great universe, what is the earth? It's just a speck. But what did God do with that speck? He came down, took on human flesh, walked among us. And if the great God of wonders would come down like that, then what should we do? In everything, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray unto God, and then pray again. Did you catch Paul's meaning? Did you notice what he said? By prayer and supplication. If the Lord doesn't answer you the first time, ask Him again. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. I want you to hear this. How often should we pray? Well, Jesus teaches us a very good lesson here in a parable, doesn't he? Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Man ought always to pray. And then he said this, and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. What's she doing? What's she doing, ladies? Ladies. Say it again. She's nagging the judge. Now, I'm not going to say this, Joe, because it gets you in trouble. There's a nagger sitting beside you. They get me in trouble. Yeah, she's nagging the judge. But what happens? Notice what happens. The Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" We need to keep going to the Lord, and if necessary, nagging about our needs and our concerns and our anxieties. There's another great story in the Old Testament. You remember the man Jacob? And how he wrestled with the angel all night long until he got the blessing. What was the blessing? He got a name change, didn't he? He'd no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Keep wrestling with God until you receive the blessing. Because if you don't, you'll never be rid of care and anxiety unless you continue in prayer. Well, how should you pray? Should you keep repeating the same phrase over and over again, the same refrain? What good does that do? What does God care for that kind of prayer? No, I think that's not the proper way to pray. This is how you pray. Let your requests be made known unto God. He knows them already, but talk to Him like He doesn't know. And the more you do that, the more you'll become acquainted with what you need. Speak to God. The more you tell God your requests, the better you'll know what they are. And maybe if you don't get an answer, He might be saying to you, "You're on the wrong track. So you need to pray about something else." That happens on occasion, doesn't it? But we are to pray for what the text says. Say what you want. Because that's true prayer. Get all alone by yourself and tell the Lord exactly what you want. Just pour your heart out to Him. Mike, you may or may not remember this. I don't know. But one time Mike and I visited Darcy and Philip. This has been probably a year ago, so Mike may not remember going there, but we did. And Darcy said this to me. I've never forgotten it, never will forget as long as I live. I asked her how she's been doing. You know what she said to me? She said, "I've been pulling on the Lord's leg." You remember that, Mike? She does remember, after all. "I've been pulling on the Lord's leg." What did that mean? What'd she mean when she told me that? She says, "I've been praying and praying and praying." That's what it means to pray. Pull on the Lord's leg. How often do you do that? Pray for what you want. Pray like you're talking to your dearest friend and telling them everything. For after all, isn't the Lord your dearest friend? That, dear ones, is real prayer. That kind of prayer will drive anxieties and cares and worries away. We'll take them all away. Prayer is real communication with God. Prayer realizes that he that comes to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek Him. How do you do that? You pray. You call upon His name. And if you don't realize this, and you can't really come to God and pray unless you understand He's a real being, a real person for you to come to and to pour out your heart to. You must believe that He really does hear your prayers and answer them. And I suppose that if I went down each row here and talked to each of you personally, or if you wanted to say it publicly, you couldn't count the number of times God has answered your prayers. Now, there may be one He hasn't answered yet, but don't give up. You keep on praying. Delay is not denial. Delay doesn't mean you won't have what you need. Delay is not denial. So let your request be made known unto God. You remember this phrase? They've worn out their welcome. or he's worn out his welcome, or she's worn out, maybe I've worn out my welcome. I better be careful here, Christy. I'm already in trouble, Joe. I see it. Just the expression on her face. Don't give her anything to throw at me, Joe. You hear me? Worn out their welcome, you know. Well, what did Jesus say? We might get tired of people coming around. Does God get tired of his children coming to him? Never. Never, not once. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? I love this text. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I take that to be a free invitation to come as often as you want, anytime you want. Just come, he says. Come and lay those burdens upon him. Lay those anxieties and those worries upon him. Those concerns that you have, lay them upon the Lord Jesus. It's what he said to do. Cast all your care upon him. Maybe our problem is we don't come often enough. We just haven't come like we should come. So, how are we to come? Did you notice that he said by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God? Well, what does that mean? It means simply this. The kind of prayer that destroys cares and anxieties is prayer that is offered thankfully. Thank God. Whenever you pray, thank God. Thank God for these blessings that you enjoy. Thank God for these anxieties and worries he's taken off your shoulders. Thank God for those things you cast upon him that you no longer have. Thank God for all those things. Paul said in another place these words, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are your circumstances and prospects dark and gloomy? Thank the Lord for them all, because in him is light and life. That's who he is. Are you barely making it and you're living just above the poverty line? Thank God for your poverty. Remember this. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The psalmist said he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He said the world, in that same psalm, the world is mine. In our church and dialogue, you know, they talked about that, Jordan. Is it symbolic language? Well, I think it's actually literally true. God does own all the cattle on a thousand hills, doesn't he? Is that symbolic? No, it's true. Is the world his? Yes, it is. He owns it all. And you are his heir. You're his heir. You're the heir to all things. You're the heir to God himself. What more could you want? Not one thing more. Mix these things together. Prayer and supplication. Supplication and thanksgiving. And living will be ever so sweet, because cares and anxieties will be gone from your life if you'll just do that. Just pray. It's kind of like a scientist, you know, who puts these elements together. And he makes a cure for a disease and kills the disease. So prayer and supplication with thanksgiving is the cure for our cares and our anxieties and our worries, no matter what kind they are. Pray. Well, what's the result of this kind of praying? Notice verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you can pray like this instead of worrying about every little thing, then a strange peace that's unexplainable will come over you and over your heart and your mind. And it's strange because it's the peace of God. I like again what Spurgeon said in that sermon. This is what he said about that peace. Listen to this. It is the unruffled serenity of the infinitely happy God, the eternal composure of the absolutely well-contented God. That's the kind of peace you get. The unruffled serenity. When's the last time you had serenity in your life? You weren't overburdened by everything? Unruffled? Well, when's the last time you got upset, Allison? Probably yesterday. See, that's not unruffled serenity, is it? No. It's hard for us to do that. But just pray. Oh, dear ones, just pray. This is a peace that's beyond expression and understanding. Others won't understand it. How in the world can you have peace when all around you the world's crumbling? When all you see in front of you is darkness. How can you have peace when that happens? It's because you have the peace of God. That's how you can have peace. When the world collapses, you'll have peace. When the doctor says you got cancer, you'll have peace. I preached a funeral here a couple weeks ago. A dear friend of mine. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it because I think it's the right time to do so. They went on vacation to Gatlinburg for a few days. And when they came back, they checked on one of their daughters. The mother checked on the daughter. She discovered that she had been dead several days, laying in the bed. You know how they get through that? They have a peace. Both of them have a peace. Both believers have a peace that passes all understanding. Some of us have been down that road. Some of you have been down that road. How do you get through it? You have a peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. You just have it. You just have it. It's a peace that will keep your heart and your mind. It's a fascinating word, keep there. It's a word, it's a military word, actually. It means to guard. It means to put a garrison around or to set up a sentinel to watch over. That's what the word here, keep, means. Peace acts like a guard for the heart and the mind. It's the peace of God that protects the child of God. And though, if you think about it in terms, peace may sound like a weak thing, but it's not. It's actually the very fiber of strength. It's the very core of strength. But did you notice this further in our text? It's that peace that links us to the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all this is possible. That peace, our affections, our thoughts, our desires, our mental capacity, our intention, our hearts, nothing about us will ever be anxious because we are joined to Christ Jesus. And all this joy is by and through His work, His person. He did it for you. He did it for you. Perhaps you're here this morning and your life is filled with all sorts of cares and anxieties and worries and concerns and troubles. And you don't know this peace that we've talked about that our text speaks of. What's the answer? What's the answer for all those things? How can you be rid of anxiety and worry? Isn't it really plain enough? You must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must turn from your sin and embrace the mercy of God that's given to you in Christ Jesus. You have a new purpose and outlook on life. You'll be able to pray like our text says. Pray, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let those requests be made known unto God. Three things there, isn't it? Prayer, supper, request. Do it. That's the answer. And when you have come to that place, you will be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, you will let your requests be made known to God, and you will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. That keeps your hearts and minds, because you are then joined to Christ Jesus by His almighty work in your behalf. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray. Our Father, I am keenly aware that there are many here this morning who have all kinds of concerns in their lives. Maybe it's for a husband or a wife. Maybe it's for a friend or a neighbor or a child. Maybe it's for themselves that they have concerns, Father, but You know all these things. But we need to tell You about them as if You didn't know. Because if we do that, we'll know them better ourselves. And we know that, as we were reminded in Sunday school class this morning, the Lord knows us all. He knows every one of us. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful that You are that kind of God. You're very much aware of our needs. You're very much aware of our anxieties and our troubles and our despair and our worries and all these things. You're very much aware of them all. Oh, great God of heaven and earth, hear our cries. Every person here who is now silently praying, I pray that You would hear their request. Let them be made known unto You. Let their requests come to You, O King, and hear them and grant their needs. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord has spoken to you this morning and you need to respond to His voice, we invite you to do so. Joe, I'm going to ask you if you would. But you come up to the front. If anyone comes, you can receive them. And as the Lord leads you this morning, as we stand and sing a closing hymn, if the Lord leads you to do so, please come. Joe can counsel you. I can counsel you. You can see Don back there. Any one of us would be happy to speak with you. So, Jordan, you come lead us, please.
Please rise.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy? does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
Does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those He loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain from every people and tribe. Every nation and tongue, He has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy of this? He is. He is. He is.
Thank you so much for your attention. For those who'd be going next door, please be ready to do that. And Brother Don, I'm going to ask you to have our benediction. Would you pray and ask a blessing for the food as well, please?
Amen.